The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And there's not a ton of storylines that are going on in the NFL and in college football right now, but it's always a pleasure to bring back into our program Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And Jason, boy, I'm doing double duty today. I got my five-year-old in studio, so I'm praying every fingers crossed that little Eli's going to be very quiet while we do our segment today. And I know that you've had to do that before, managing taking care of your daughters.
Yeah, fortunately today for me, doing the interview, they're at swim class, so I don't have to worry about any screams in the background or any daddy, I need this, or daddy, I want that. So I feel for you.
Well, I feel bad. You know, I have to make a confession on air. I've actually got him playing a video game, and I'm just, I just cringe when I have to do that, you know. Okay, listen, one of the things I want to talk about is just how much technology continues to change the game. I mean, and I was reading one of the headlines this week. The Dolphins are going to be fined $10K, or they would be, if they had unauthorized iPad used. I mean, the playbook is now digital. I mean, who would have thought, 10 years ago, just how much the game continues to change?
Yeah. I know that Nebraska does it up here as well with the iPads. I think it's a way for them to monitor how much guys are looking at their playbook. I think there's programs that they can keep track of pretty much all of that stuff, which I guess, for the NFL level, all those guys are professionals. They got to that level because they were doing something right. In a way, it's kind of like, just keeping an eye on them 24 hours a day. It's like a parent who doesn't trust their kid almost.
The smartphone, yeah.
The nanny cam inside their room to watch and make sure. But I understand. I mean, you're paying these guys $10 million and up. Some of the contracts have gotten completely out of hand, and I think you want to make sure that the guys that you're paying that kind of money to are taking it just as serious as the guys that are running those franchises. So I understand. Also, I'm sure, I know when they had kind of the paper copies, I remember guys that would, first day that they got the playbook, they would be off to a Kinko's and copying that thing, even though you're not supposed to and you can get fined for it. I think it's something that a lot of guys used to do. You can almost, nobody would ever come out and say that, by the way, if you cut me, I have a copy of your playbook, so I'm going to take it to the next team that I go to. But I do know that there are reasons why teams sometimes they sign a guy from a team that maybe they have on the schedule the upcoming week, so that they can kind of pick their brain about what that team may be running against them. So I think it's just more about being able to track kind of every move that these guys make, in a way.
Well, as a player, though, you just got to love how it just simplifies. You're not having to carry around a big ream of paper with, all the plays. I mean, it's definitely convenient, correct?
Absolutely. I know that the size of those playbooks, at college you had maybe 50, 75 sheets, something along those lines in that area of plays and defenses that you're either running that week or defenses that you run just throughout the season. And in the NFL, it pretty much triples, I think, in size. The playbook that you had in college is tiny compared to what you get in the NFL. So to be able just to have it on this little tablet, I think they just don't want guys going to some of those sites that your mother wouldn't be proud to find out that you're frequenting those sites. And let's face it, I mean, playing in the NFL is one of the best jobs in the world because you work for half the year, the other half you're in a gym working out, which most guys enjoy doing. There's a lot of free time on these guys' hands, and you don't want them kind of doing things that maybe they shouldn't be doing.
I guess, you know, sometimes I'm still, since I haven't been a part of the game, you know, in that capacity, I just find it stunning that, you know, you have to monitor these guys. They're professionals. They're pros. They're supposed to be passionate about their craft and be serious about, you know, they shouldn't have to be monitored, Jason. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know. And usually the guys that do have to be monitored, those usually are the guys that don't last for 10 or 12 years. Those are the guys that maybe play a couple of years, but you know what, they're still paying those guys, and there's still an investment. But no, there are certainly some guys, even with the big contract, that sometimes when that happens, they almost let their guard down. It's a sense of accomplishment, like I've gotten to my goal, I've reached the pinnacle, I've got all the money in the world, now what? You see it all the time. I mean, guys, it's not coincidence that they play the best year of their career the year that their contract is up. And then that following year, they kind of, you know, turn into duds where they're not worth half the money that team spent on them. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I mean, you could point to the bounty gate even down in New Orleans where, you know, guys maybe are earning an extra $10,000, $15,000. Well, you know, compare that to your $10 or $15 million contract. Does it take an extra $10,000 for you to actually play hard? It's sad, but for some guys, it's the case.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We want to welcome on board a brand new sponsor, Mercer Wealth Service, and they are powering our segment with Jason Peter. And Jason, this is one of those storylines that, you know, happened last week, and I just hate to get into it, but what was your thoughts on the Jerry Sandusky verdict? And now, obviously, the focus is on Penn State and how they will recover from all of this.
Well, I think, like everybody, you knew, I think, what the outcome was going to be, and obviously a sense of relief. I think for the victims, I'm sure they're thrilled, but there's a part of their life that they'll never get back, and the rest of their life, even though those victims and those you know, incidents, those horrible things that happened to them, hopefully won't dictate the type of person and life that they live, but I'm sure there is some vindication in the fact that he's going to spend the rest of his life behind bars. I think the only unfortunate thing is that he's provided protection. They're making sure that he's in a safe place in prison, and I get it. They don't want Jerry Sandusky being killed the first day or week that he's in there, but nobody was protecting those kids when he was doing these awful things to them. And there's a big part of me that wishes he could experience that. He could go through not having that protection that, you know, a 10-year-old or 12-year-old boy should have. And this guy, you know, he'll probably be in solitary for the rest of his life. But I guess it's better than, you know, the alternative with this guy still out walking the streets and hurting more young children.
I wonder about the responsibility that Penn State has in all of this. I mean, I know that Jerry Sandusky, he's going to pay his dues, but Penn State was the enabler. They were aware of what was going on.
Yeah, and the more time that passes, you find out more and more people that knew about it or had an inkling of what was going on, and it just seemed like everybody passed the buck. Nobody wanted to be the guy that went and said, this is happening, and we need to stop it right now, and we need to deal with Jerry Sandusky right now. And it just seemed everybody kept passing it on to somebody else or saying, well, this isn't my real area. It's so-and-so's area of expertise, and he needs to deal with it. And, you know, eventually it all slipped through the cracks, and you know, I know that money, I don't think, was the driving force behind a lot of these victims, if not all of these victims. You know, they wanted justice served to Jerry Sandusky, but now you're going to see some civil suits come out. And Penn State, I don't see any way around this. And you know, to be honest, I think if they actually take some of these cases to court, I think it's going to look bad right off the get-go. I think they need to come out and they need to offer up a nice paycheck to these young victims. Not that you could put a price tag on anything, but ultimately that's, you know, what these civil suits will dictate is money. And I know, I think I just heard where Penn State has a endowment fund or something of like $2 billion or something, and that's going to be something that these lawyers, I'm sure, go after.
Jason Peter with us just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big East Sports Show with our Under the Helmet segment. We're going to transition quickly. I did want to get your hit on, you know, the BCS. It's on its way out. So now one of the topics and discussion points, it's not been delved into too heavily, but what happens to the coaches poll? Will they continue to have a significant say or a vote on what teams, Jason, will compete in that national title game? Do you think they should be able to weigh in on that?
I think they should just do away with it. I think the coaches poll is just, I mean, it's great for people like you and I who were always looking for edgy topics, and when a coach votes, you know, his best friend's team in the top five, even though maybe they have four or five losses already, it creates good radio. But I just think in terms of does it do college football justice? And I don't think it does. I, you know, these coaches, there's not enough time in the day for them to be watching all of these football games in order to rank teams 1 through 25. You know, they have their media department. They have somebody in that area that usually is submitting the vote for the coach. And you don't know if that guy even has any football knowledge. You know, it just seems that they're playing favorites. You know, they help their buddies out, and that's not the way that it should be. I mean, it should be about the best 25 teams, 1 through 25 in that order, and that's not the outcome that they're getting with this coaches poll. So I think they should probably just do away with it. I actually don't mind them putting together something of, you know, kind of like that Legends poll where they had some retired coaches. I don't know if you can go with, I think, just those retired coaches. I think you have to have some younger people that are willing to sit in front of TV screens for an entire day and watch these football games, because ultimately that's the only way you're going to get an honest poll is by watching these teams. But at the same time, if they're a coach, they know other coaches, and they know, you know, some of these guys have worked for these legend coaches in the past. So certainly if they have one of their pupils and there's another team that's coached by somebody they don't know, and maybe they seem somewhat even in strength, who do you think that coach is going to vote for? He'll probably vote for the guy that learned underneath them. So I think they have to find some, whether it's some national journalists, guys that cover college football, mixed in with some of these retired coaches. You know, there are guys like John Gruden's and stuff like that where they're not old-timers. These are guys that just kind of got tired of coaching and are enjoying life in the media and being able to spend time with their families. These guys have time, I think, where they could probably put together a fairly accurate top 25 poll.
Yeah, and someone like a John Gruden is someone that certainly is dialed in. Jason, we are quickly running out of time. We've talked some college football, some NFL, and I'm glad you bring up families, because that is a great segue to my final question. I was on the drive back from San Antonio this past weekend, and listening to satellite radio, they were talking about some of the young stars on the tour right now, Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson. And these are guys that are really committed to family and to doing the right thing. And Webb Simpson says he's not going to play in the British Open because he and his wife are expecting their second child in late July. Bubba Watson, you know, of course, won the Masters. He, after the adoption of their child, chose not to play for 1 month. And one of the commentators on this particular show, Jason, said that, you know, these are guys that need to have a responsibility to the game and they shouldn't be taking time off. What do you think? I think times have changed. I mean, guys want to be at home with their wives and supporting their families.
Well, I think it's exactly what you said. I mean, times have changed, and the announcer that said that was probably somewhat of a old-timer, and they did things differently. I understand kind of where he's coming from because the strength of the tour and the popularity of it is having the guys that have won the big tournaments playing in the next tournament. So I understand from a market, you know, a television market, why they need those players. I mean, if everybody came up and said, well, my aunt's sick or my wife's having a baby or this or that, chances are they might not have anybody to play. But like you said, times have changed, and
you don't get a mulligan once you miss that, you know, incredible moment. You can't. You don't get a do-over.
And it's refreshing to see that there is balance in a lot of these guys' life. You know, certainly they've made commitments to this game in order to get where they are. I mean, they haven't just decided, oh, I'm going to play on the tour and go out and buy themselves a club, and in a week, you know, they're playing in the Masters. I mean, these guys have dedicated their lives, and I'm sure there have been a lot of family functions that Webb Simpson has missed because of the game of golf. And, you know, the birth of your child is one that I think is kind of a trump card. You never get that back again, and you don't know if they'll ever have kids again. And to miss that because of a game, I think the honesty and you know the Webb Simpson coming out and saying my family is more important than the game of golf. There will always be another British Open that he could play in, but there may never be another birth of his child.
Well, I love seeing these young golfers, these young fathers, you know, opting to take time off, to, as you had said, Jason, you know, to focus on family, and I think it's great. It's a great trend, and we love seeing that. Jason, listen, thank you so much for coming on. We look forward to catching up with you next week. We'll have another great talk.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. James Dotson will be joining us here in just a moment.